Hey, leader of learning, when it comes to professional development, wouldn't you want to save money and choose PD that meets your needs? Midwest Teachers Institute offers the most affordable state-accredited graduate courses on the market for salary enhancement, state certification, and continued education with no hidden fees. With classes designed by professionals active in their field, you get practical tips to help you improve what you do best. Sign up for a class and see why they truly are teachers helping teachers. Visit MidwestTeachersInstitute.org and enter the coupon code LEARNING at checkout to save $30 off your first course. That's MidwestTeachersInstitute.org and coupon code LEARNING.
How do we take a social-emotional learning experience and actually put kids in that spot to like practice and work through these things?
Welcome back for another episode of the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dan Krynas. Let's get started. Hello, once again, Leader of Learning, and welcome back to episode 80 of the podcast. Man, at 80 episodes, I really can't believe it. I'm very humbled to have reached 80 episodes, and I'm so glad that you're along on this journey with me. Episode 80 is a great one. I have an amazing guest, Hans Apple, who is the author of a recently published book called Award-Winning Culture. He also co-hosts with his wife, Jennifer, the podcast with the same name, the Award-Winning Culture Podcast, and a student-led podcast. And when I spoke to Hans, I was excited and eager to get his opinions and thoughts about lots of different things regarding being a school counselor, of course, school and what's happening to students in the times of COVID-19 and school closures, in terms of their social-emotional learning and how to maintain that school culture. And I was blown away by a lot of things Hans said, but specifically his reference to how students can really be seen and utilized as true leaders within a school building and how much that really contributes to an award-winning culture. So without further ado, here is my interview with Hans Apple. We've had this interview and episode scheduled for a while. I'm so glad to finally be here with you. I have Hans Apple, who I'm excited to speak to. He's an educator. He is an author, a podcaster. He does so many things, wears so many hats, but we're going to talk about all that stuff in a minute. Before we do, Hans, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and tell us how you're doing.
Dan, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here with you, finally having this conversation, like you say. Yeah, I always love that question of what do you do? I really feel like my why informs my what. So I'll just tell you, my why is that I believe education at its highest level is about inspiring others to discover and develop their joy. And so for the past 19 years, I've worked as a counselor at a middle school. I love middle school kids. That's where my heart is. They're crazy and fun and messy, and it's awesome. So middle school is where it's at for me. And then on top of that, I'm the director of culture for the Teach Better team. And as you mentioned, I'm a new author. So I recently had a book come out called Award-Winning Culture. So I'm super pumped about that and happy to be here talking with you.
Yeah. And we definitely share that passion for middle school. I just finished up year 14, and I've spent all but about 3 weeks of that as a middle school educator. The 3 weeks were as an interim assistant principal at the high school level, but everything else has been at a middle school. So I think we're crazy for enjoying middle school as much as we do, but hey, that's what we do. I want to start with that, actually. I know you do lots of things, and I do want to talk to you about them, but I want to start with that aspect of you as an educator, which is that you were a counselor. In 80 episodes of this podcast, this is actually the first time I'm speaking to an active school counselor. And so I'm both excited and intrigued and interested to hear how you answer this question. I guess I don't even know how to phrase it. Like, what's the deal with the school closures and social emotional learning? Like, what's happening with students? What happened at the end of this school year in terms of schools being shut down? And then what are we seeing and hearing and thinking about maybe what schools are going to look like, you know, as we get through the end of this summer and into next school year and beyond, maybe?
Man, that's a big question, right? There's so much going on. And I think we're all, as educators, trying to wrap our brains around what it all means and what it all looks like. The reality is, though, as a school counselor, I see kids on a daily basis struggling with anxiety. And that's pre-COVID. You know, I would say anxiety rates over the last maybe 4 or 5 years are just off the charts. So now you add this new layer, right, where we've been out of school and dealing with, you know, all of the things that have happened over the last few months, and it's just amplified everything. So, you know, the year ended for us. Obviously, we were still at home, and so there was a lot of my day that was spent connecting with students, reaching out, doing Zooms, you know, by phone, email, you know, anything that I could do to kind of stay connected, right? Handing out lunches sometimes during the day, whatever was a way to reach kids. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Dan, I didn't feel like I was that great of a counselor. And I feel like that's probably the response a lot of educators are kind of like, you know, feeling over the last few months. It's like,
as you say that, and I'm thinking, I don't know that I was as good an instructional coach as I usually am and could be in person too. So I totally understand.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard to adjust, and you know, you do what you can, but at the same time, you feel like you're not doing everything that your kids need. Right. So I think a lot of what we're kind of doing here at the end of the spring and just kind of finishing up our school year and wrapping things up, planning for next year, we're expecting some sort of hybrid model. So we're thinking that, you know, it'll probably be some remote learning, but also some in school. And you know about me, I'm super passionate about school culture and really helping kids feel safe and welcome and warm and all of that. And that's where the challenge lies, is, you know, how do you go about building those relationships in these, you know, crazy times. So, I mean, that's a lot of my day right now is spent, you know, trying to figure out how can we do that? How can we build culture in classes? How can we build school-wide culture, right? Where we're still like all centered on making kindness normal and, you know, what we're all about as far as we're the Wildcats. So we call ourselves Wildcat Nation. And kind of like looking up to these three pillars of character, excellence, and community, how do those play out in these weird hybrid times? So it's a challenge for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's in person, hybrid, all distanced, you know, I think in general, it's about maintaining those connections with students, maintaining that community that you can as best you can. And really, and I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a layup here or an alley-oop. I don't know if you're a basketball fan. Maybe it's an alley-oop. I'm setting you up. So it all comes back to the culture, right? Now, you're all about culture, your podcast, your book, award-winning culture. I guess just tell us about that, you know, kind of the origin story of how award-winning culture came to be.
Yeah. So maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we started having different school leaders and districts reaching out to us because they wanted to know why we were having so much success with some of the programs, some of the SEL programs and PBIS type programs. We were having kind of a different experience than what they were having. And so
can I ask you, what does that mean? Like when you say you were having a different experience, yeah. I guess I'm wondering how do you measure that kind of success with SEL programs, like you said, where it was working better for your school than other schools?
Yeah. So, I mean, certainly you can look at all the regular metrics, right? Like discipline. Grades and test scores and discipline and attendance and all that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, teacher retention rates, all those kinds of things seem to be different. And, you know, what happened is some of these districts kind of started going, okay, well, we want to come see. And so this kind of led to some different site visits. Where, you know, people were coming on campus with full teams, basically wanting to take tours and you know, talk to us and kind of find out what's the secret sauce at Enterprise. And it was amazing how it didn't take more than them walking into the building before they were starting to reflect and go, wow, it just feels different here. So just to give you an idea, Dan, we start every day with greeting every single person that walks in the door. So, you know, there's fist bumps and high fives and music, and it's just the place to be. And we literally like know everyone that's walking in. So, that, you know, there's these inside jokes and there's like greetings and compliments. And so you can imagine as an outside, district, bringing in maybe 8-10 people, they walk into this scene of just positivity, right? And immediately that just like triggers something where they're like, okay, this place is different. So me as the counselor, my wife actually works, Jennifer is the leadership teacher at our school. And so we have kind of a big part in, I guess you could say, the culture and what's been built there. So we started getting specific questions, both during these visits as well as like afterwards, kind of the follow-up piece. And the more questions we got, the more we tried to sort of tease out, yeah, what is the special thing here? Because, you know, Dan, when you're in a school, you're just in it. Like you don't really necessarily think about, well, is it any different here? Or, you know, what's going on? And so that really forced us to kind of do that deep dive and try to tease that out. That sort of led to some speaking engagements and some blogging and writing where we began to go, okay, it really is these big things, these character, excellence, and community. So when we think about character, it's will you do the right thing? Excellence being will you do your very best? And community being what will you do for others today? So those three questions really sort of guide our school and have become our brand.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
That's great. And, obviously, as I said a few minutes ago, extremely important, not just in person, but amidst school closures and when we've all been at a distance from one another. I mean, we're really almost getting to be halfway into the summer at this point, but it's still, I'm assuming for you as well as me and my school and the culture that we've built, like it's on everybody's minds. Recently, our governor came out and said that schools will be back in session, full-time, in-person instruction. And we, you know, the teachers union, we all have our doubts and our questions that are up in the air about like, how is that even going to happen? But the bottom line is whether you're in person, whether it's full time, whether it's a hybrid model, or whether everyone is still at home for the next several months, the key, and I've seen this all over social media and I've heard it so many times, the key really is that the blessing in disguise here amidst all of this has been the fact that people and even parents at home who are now having to play a bigger role in educating their children understand the power of those connections and that culture that exists at school. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really given, you know, families some perspective, right, on what it's like to be an educator. And so it's been an interesting process for them to be kind of forced into that role. But, now, it's how do we help those parents, you know, really do some of the things like you alluded to SEL, for instance, you know, how do we support those same kinds of experiences at home, right? And I think that's a big challenge. We're finding that, you know, it is a lot of like, you know, the check-in with students, you know, the taking care of ourselves as the adults, and you know, really having that lens of okay, there's obvious equity, you know, concerns and issues, and how do we eliminate those barriers so we can really get down to supporting kids? So there's lots of little layers that I think have been revealed. Certainly, one of them being parents are experiencing education firsthand.
Yeah, and I did it too. You know, I was definitely one of those where I was trying to help my own kids learning at home at the same time. I mean, I don't have classroom responsibilities and students of my own at this point, but you know, trying to support and coach the teachers through it. And it was like I was trying to provide social emotional support for them, because obviously first time for everybody doing that kind of distance learning. It wasn't necessarily the first time for me. I've gone through now an entire master's and an entire doctorate program completely online. So I think in a lot of ways I was maybe better prepared to support my teachers because of that. But, you know, talking about all this culture stuff, I have to take that natural segue into asking you about, of course, the new book and the podcast and everything that comes with your brand award-winning culture. It's really new, the book. I haven't gotten my hands on it. So if maybe you can explain a little bit about what to expect when listeners and readers can get their hands on the book, I'd appreciate that.
For sure. Yeah. The book was really written for, you know, all educators to really help them create these incredible environments within their sphere. What I found, Dan, is that most of the literature out there on school culture was written from a very specific lens. It was really a building principal, maybe a superintendent, but it didn't necessarily apply outside of the folks that had the title of leader. And so I really wanted something that a teacher, a principal, a counselor, anybody could pick up and instantly impact their own culture, whether it's in their office, their classroom, or the entire school. So it's kind of broken down into four sections. I mentioned character excellence community. Those are all acronyms. And so they break out into different things. And I tease out everything from how do you implement SEL to, you know, how do you budget specifically for school culture? How do you empower and create voice and choice within your school? So there's all these little elements that really play into empowering students and empowering our educators. And then the book kind of wraps up with what I call cultural maximizers. So these are other things that sort of get beneath those key pillars, character excellence, community, and really support everything else. So one of the key cultural maximizers that I think has been instrumental for me and certainly for our school is something I call educational cross-training. So it's the idea, Dan, that in order for me to really grow, I need to step outside of just the counseling world. And so I need to learn skills as a teacher. I need to learn skills as a leader, like a traditional principal might have, even like customer service type things that maybe some of our front office staff are working through. And so it's really kind of like a detailed plan about how to grow, right? How to improve professionally.
Here's what I love about that, because listeners who listen to this show regularly will know that I end every episode by saying that no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning. And I feel like that mission and the mission of your book and your brand, award-winning culture, have that alignment in the sense that, like you said, a lot of times, and look, I know some of the big names out there who have written books and make a living off of speaking about school culture, and their messages are great, but I do agree that it does come usually from someone who has that very specific lens of having that prototypical leadership title. And I'm really big, and this show and this brand is really big on the fact that anybody can be a leader. And it sounds like you're big on the fact that anybody can contribute to a positive school culture and improving a school culture that might need improving. And so I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, take your average teacher leader, let's say a classroom teacher, maybe like me, an instructional coach, someone who doesn't have a traditional leadership title. What are some of the things that they might be able to do to support that kind of, culture building?
Well, I'll just take you, for instance, Dan, in your role. I'm super passionate about SEL, you know, character development, social emotional learning. But I think one of the biggest problems that schools have is that they talk about it a lot. They do a lot of talking, like this is a good idea, but they don't actually put kids in a position to practice those things. So you and I beforehand, Dan, were talking a little bit about student-led podcasting. I'm huge into that. One of the things that we created at our school was a podcast where our students could talk to experts around the world and, you know, really chew on things like mental health or, you know, leadership or character development or whatever the topic is. And then after the interview, they would have time to reflect, and we call it a debrief, and then share that out. Obviously, that you know, creates an authentic audience where our community and certainly beyond our state can check out and see our podcast. But I think that's the kind of thing that I would love to see happening in all schools, not necessarily just a podcast, but the idea of how do we take a social emotional learning experience and actually put kids in that spot to like practice and work through these things. So it's been so impactful, you know, for us to have the opportunity to, you know, put some of our leaders in a role where they could wrestle with big ideas like, you know, self-harm and anxiety and depression and, you know, what it's like to, you know, deal with parent rules and, you know, all these just like really like, you know, big trigger topics that middle schoolers, we're obviously middle school, want to focus on and want to talk about. And then sharing those out so that their peers and parents and obviously staff and things can learn from their experiences.
It's interesting to me, and I'm not disagreeing with you or I'm not, you know, saying I'm disappointed, but it is interesting that when I ask you a question about teacher leaders, you go to how much students can get involved in leadership, and really they're the ones potentially who are driving the culture shifts and the culture building in a school. I don't think that's a coincidence that you went there, but I think that's interesting because I'll be honest, you know, when I think of building a culture in a school, I don't necessarily go to students first. I probably should. You know, I definitely value student voice and choice. I'm a little disconnected from students in my role as an instructional coach. I shouldn't say that. I'm a little more distanced from students in my role than I would be as a classroom teacher. But still, there are things that I can do and that I do in my role to bring students in as leaders in the building. So I really appreciate that. It's kind of food for thought for me. You know, when we get back to school, how might I be able to do that more even?
Well, and in your role, maybe it's even empowering some of those teachers to then empower kids, right? It's been amazing to watch. You know, I think back to what you said a few minutes ago about, you know, we're all leaders. And you know, I think that's still a struggle for a lot of educators to wrestle with. Like, I'm a leader. I'm not the building principal. How could I be a leader? You know, but I think it's more there than it used to be. But now I think it's that next step of, you know, we have an entire school of leaders. I mean, that's the reality. Anybody that has somebody else that, you know, is in their circle, right? Whether it's a friend, a family member, you know, if they have any influence on another human being, they're essentially a leader. So if you think about it, that's almost everybody in the world. And I sometimes don't think that kids, you know, feel like they have that much influence over their experience at school, but the reality is they do.
You know, so much of what you say is so interesting. And like I said before, aligning with what I'm doing here on the podcast, it's not even out yet at the time of this recording. But in our last episode with Vernon Wright, who is an amazing leader in and of himself, he mentioned influence. And the title of the episode is The Importance of Influence. And so again, I don't think it's a coincidence that you're bringing this up again. And, you know, think about it. I'm talking directly to my listeners now at this point. Think about it. What Hans just said, that you have an entire school full of leaders. I say every week or every 2 weeks when these episodes come out, no matter who you are or where you are, well, that doesn't even mean that you need to be an educator. That doesn't mean that you need to be an adult in your building. It could be the students in your building. And I'm thinking about that differently now as well. So Hans, I really appreciate you saying that. As we wrap up here, you know, let's talk about, well, let's plug the book some more. Let's plug the podcast some more. You know, tell us a little bit about that, where people can find that, how they access it, and also how they access you as well.
Yeah. So our student-led podcast, as well as my wife and I, Jennifer, have another podcast that's all about school culture, as well as the book. All of that is available on awardwinningculture.com. That's our website. The book is also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as well. But that's the best place to reach us. And then I'm pretty active on Twitter and Instagram, and my handle is Hans N. Apple.
That's great, man. You know, congratulations again on the release of the book. I know it's still a little early on, but You know, actually, tell our listeners, you said before that there's an area in, did you say Africa, that they're doing a book study on your book? That's really intriguing. That's pretty cool. Tell us about that.
I was telling you beforehand that it's weird because you never know. It's like your podcast. You never know who all is, you know, going to be influenced by your work. And I was talking this morning with somebody because there's a cohort now in South Africa that is reading my book and doing a book study and that I'm interacting with. And it's like, you know, a whole school of people that I've never met, that I don't know. I don't know a single person in South Africa. And that's just incredible, you know? And yeah, it's just, it's such a gift to be able to know that you're influencing people around the world.
It is. And again, congratulations with that and on the success of everything from the podcasts to now the book. So good luck with that. And thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on. And, you know, no matter what schools will look like when we go back in August and September, I know that you as a counselor and as an educator are going to do all you can do. And I'm urging everyone listening to do all that you can do as well to help build up that culture in your school. Hans, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks once again, Leader of Learning, for tuning in to episode 80 with Hans Apple. I hope you enjoyed it and got as much out of everything that Hans said as I did. Of course, for links to Hans's podcast and also where you can find his book will be in the show notes for this episode. So head to leaderoflearning.com/episode80. And since you're still tuning in, I also wanted to preview my next episode will be with a colleague of mine, Mark Jackson. I hope you tune into that one as well. And just so you know, I have a bit of an announcement to make right now. Moving forward and starting in August of 2020 with my next episode, episode 81, I'm making a slight change to the timing of when I release episodes. So if you're used to catching Leader of Learning episodes every other Monday, this will be a little bit different. But what we're going to do now is we're going to release 3 episodes every month, and they will be released on the 5th, the 15th, and the 25th. And I really hope that you'll tune in to that next episode that'll be released on August 5th, because I have a really special announcement in that one. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.